Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
I love to say to my clients that, you know, we only have this one life, and not only for our own pleasure or satisfaction of chasing after that dream, but also what opportunities or experiences are you denying other people? What potential impacts could you make on the world that you are denying the world of?
Hey there, this is Judy with the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, and that was Sarah Vandermeiden. Sarah is a life and effectiveness coach, as you might be able to get that sense of in the opening quote, a question she not only asks her clients, but hopes that we all ask of ourselves as we're going through life, trying to figure ourselves out. We talk about the type of coaching she does and how she works with her clients and how she works with groups, individuals, as well as in person and over the phone. She'll talk about this more fully, but she works with techniques in mindset, mindfulness, productivity, and wellness to walk through the obstacles that are getting in our way. And she tells a story to kind of help us think about some of the things that might be limiting our own beliefs and help challenge us to shed some of those things that might be haunting us and holding us back from doing some of the stuff that we are feeling maybe even most called to do. Sarah was kind enough to take a little extra time and do a podcast extra recording for us of a tool called Boosting Your Effectiveness and Reducing Your Stress. So keep your ears open at the end of the podcast for the directions on where to find that little extra gift from Sarah. Sarah and I, you know what? I'm in this moment, I can't actually remember where I met Sarah for the first time, but I've worked with her in a couple different capacities. One being some one-on-one work that we've done together, and another being in a group session. And both were great. The group, of course, is always really cool. It happened to be a really nice mix of people who were in a kind of similar spot in a certain way. And so it was a great opportunity to connect with them, as well as have Sarah kind of for the backbone of discussion and keeping us on track and moving forward. Not to mention, of course, the questions and the tools that got us focused and thinking and moving forward in directions that we wanted to be moving. I've also worked with her individually a few different times, and you know, we had some great discussions around some difficult decisions that needed to be made, that I needed a sounding board and sort of help laying the groundwork to go forward in confidence. She gave me some great tools and perspective to wrap my brain around. I had a musical project coming up that was pretty intense for me. And so she was really great at helping me frame that in a way that proved really helpful in me finding my way. Let's head on in. Welcome, Sarah. Welcome, Sarah. Thank you for hanging out with me today.
Yes, thank you, Judy. I'm really excited to be able to talk with you about coaching. My name is Sarah Vandermeiden. I'm a life and effectiveness coach.
And so I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Life and effectiveness coach. Mm-hmm. So talk about that a little bit, because I don't think that's something we typically hear, but I like it. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds very descriptive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My passion is to work with people who have significant either educational, career, or life goals, and something is getting in the way of them being able to be effective at pursuing those goals, whatever that might be. Maybe it's self-doubt, maybe it's fear, maybe it's a lack of energy. And these things could be due to, you know, thought processes, wellness practices, all kinds of different things that could come up. So what I do is I utilize techniques in mindset, mindfulness, productivity, and wellness to help them get through whatever obstacle is getting in the way so that they can realize their full potential.
I was just listening to somebody the other day who was talking about kind of in thinking about our motivation and our goals that we have and saying, you know, well, what we do what we're going to do. We do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think about how human nature is and how all of the things that we bring to the table. I listened to that statement and I was listening critically and thinking, well, do we do what we want to do? Or do we kind of do what we're used to doing, or we don't know? We know that there's this other thing we want to attain, but we don't know how to put our focus there, or we don't know how to take that next step, or we don't, like you're saying, we don't know how to be effective or get over that hump. Mm-hmm. There's something that sometimes we need help seeing, because we know that there's this bigger thing we want to achieve, but we don't quite know how to get there. So that's kind of where you come in.
Right. So coaching really is a partnership between a coach and a client, and it involves a series of conversations designed to help the client clarify what it is that they want. What is it that they truly want? And how are they going to make it happen?
I just want to throw this out there right in the beginning. You work both in person and like over phone, over Skype, all of that stuff. So anybody anywhere in the world can
Anywhere. I don't utilize Skype currently.
Okay.
I live out in the middle of the country. And as we know here in Minnesota, we've got some broadband internet access issues, right?
Yes.
And so the phone is typically how people access coaching through me, but I also can meet with people in person.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. What brought you to where you are today? When you think of like the 18-year-old Sarah and the now Sarah. So just talk a little bit about what got you here and kind of what things give you the skill sets that you have and the desire to help people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember very clearly when I was in college, I had come back from studying abroad in Denmark and I was a psychology major. And as many psychology majors this happens to, didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people, right? And so I was meeting with a career counselor. I remember it so clearly. I was explaining to her that I loved college, and though I was ready to graduate from college, I didn't really want to leave college. And she said, well, did you know that there's a whole classification of jobs that work with college students? It's called student affairs. And I'm like, oh. It's like the proverbial light bulb went on. Because I loved the college setting. I loved everything about it. And thus began an over 20-year career working in higher education. I started my work in residence life, which is overseeing college housing facilities and everything that goes along with that. Community development, supervising resident advisors, helping students who have challenges and difficulties along the way, coming up with fun things for the students to do, all kinds of different things. Everything that would happen in a normal community setting happens on a college campus.
Yeah.
And so the first job that I had was up at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. And they didn't have a lot of money to pay me at the time. It's almost laughable, to think about how much I earned back then. But they did offer me complete tuition support to go and obtain my master's degree. So that was a wonderful thing. I got my master's in counseling and human development with an emphasis in college student affairs. And so that kind of really started my career. And I just, when I was a young professional, I took advantage of every opportunity that I possibly could. I did counseling internships and offered different study skills workshops or effectiveness workshops for college students. And I went on, most of my career was in residence life, but I also taught college level classes in career development, decision making. I co-facilitated groups. I worked in admissions, advising. I worked with students who were in trouble, mental health issues, all kinds of different things. It was just a wonderful, rich career.
Yeah, what a great way to gain a lot of different types of tools in your toolbox.
Oh, so many. I mean, I really credit that career with a lot of the developmental and educational opportunities that I can offer now. Working with the resident advisors, of course, I had to train them. And so I have all of these different workshops and training opportunities that I can offer people now. I've really been able to take it from that career. And so you're probably wondering, well, why did I leave that career? It was so rewarding and everything. Well, I had a baby a little later in life than most people do, and I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So I stepped away from this career so that I could experience that and just help nurture her and help her grow and everything else. So wonderful experience. And then, you know, when you start looking at your child going to school, the wheels start turning, right. You know, what am I going to do here? And a couple of things kind of coincided. First of all, I do have an entrepreneurial streak. You know, I've always wanted to know what it would be like to have my own business. And I thought this would be a great opportunity. I had the support of my husband. And it's a perfect time to start a business when you're not accustomed to having that second income, mm-hmm. right? This is the time to do it. If it's not going to happen now, it probably won't happen. So then I took stock of everything that I brought to the table as far as my skills and experiences and my passions. And then I reflected back to my absolute most favorite moments working in student affairs. And that would be when a student that I knew well, typically an RA, they'd be in my office and I would be asking them, so what are you doing here? What are you studying? What do you want to do with your life? And really talking about that vision that they had for that life and talking together about how they could make that happen. Those were the moments where I felt just most on point and most excited about what I was doing there. Well, as it turns out, that's pretty much the definition of coaching, right? Mm-hmm. And so I realized that, hey, I'm pretty fortunate. The thing that I was most passionate about when I was working in that setting, there's actually a career for that, you know, called coaching. So I'm going to check into it. And even though I had a master's in counseling already, I wanted to become very knowledgeable about coaching and the differences between counseling and coaching. Mm. So I did pursue the training to obtain a board certified coach credential. And I completed that training and obtained the credential in 2016, which is the same year that I opened my coaching practice.
Okay. So all of this together and your coaching business and kind of doing this work that you've been doing, what are the pieces in that, in working with people? And you kind of addressed this a little bit, but what are the things that excites you, that gets you enthusiastic about working with your clients?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I think coaching is really aligned, you know, with the person that I am, just the experiences and the skills that I have, and also my unique set of strengths and characteristics that I bring to the table. I think what most excites me is when I am in the conversation with another person and we get to that point where we're really diving in. And through me asking questions and listening and reflecting to that person, when we get to that magical connection point that propels them into, oh, just that realization, and propels them into taking the action needed to get to where they want. There's just something magical about that conversation. There's a synergy there. It's not me. It's not just them. It's that process of us together in the conversation. Mm-hmm. That is what really excites me about it. When I was taking my coach training, our instructor said something that really surprised me. She said, as a coach, if you're not getting more out of the conversation than your client, then you're not doing something right. And I'm like, wow, that's really strange. That seems a little like self-serving or self-focused. But having been a coach now for several years, I know exactly what she's talking about. For me, there is nothing more rewarding than to be able to connect with a person on that level. It's not only rewarding, it's a real privilege to be able to be allowed in somebody's life and to be allowed into their hopes and dreams. Mm. And to have that relationship be able to propel that person to where they want to go, it is so rewarding. I'm just always so fired up when a coaching conversation is done and we really had made a connection point with that person. And it's just so exciting. I just love it.
That makes sense to me. I mean, just from the coaching and the work that I've done, that it is really, like you say, it is that privilege of having them share so much with you that mm-hmm. you're able to connect those pieces together and reflect something back that has them go, oh, wow, wait, I can do this. Or just puts the pieces into place and,
right.
Yeah. It's an amazing feeling on both ends, being the person to have that happen,
right.
and being coached and having that, oh my gosh, okay, cool, this is my next step, or mm-hmm. this is the clarity that I have right now to move forward.
Right.
So, you know, you mentioned the skill sets that you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And talk about some things maybe that you want to highlight about yourself, how you work with people, or what you really can do with folks that is maybe unique to your life and coaching mm-hmm. path.
Yeah, well, first of all, I am trained as a counselor, which is a very, you know, rigorous, intensive process designed to help people really hone their listening skills, their communication skills, different ways of reflecting what people are saying back to them. And though I'm trained as a counselor, I do not act as a counselor, as a coach. They are two different things. But I think those skills have been really, really helpful for me. So what I bring to the table is I listen really deeply, not only to the words, but the feelings behind the words. And I have a very strong sense of intuition as well that I can use to put together the words and the passion and the feeling and even, you know, spaces in the conversation, whatever the case might be, to be able to direct my questions and my observations to the client. And I always like to characterize it as me serving as a mirror to them. This is what you're saying. This is the feelings behind it. What does that motivate you to discover further in yourself or motivate you to do or to act as a result of that? And so I think that's really significant. I just really value that training that I had as a counselor. And then the other thing is just the person that I am, just the natural strengths that I bring to it. I don't know if you're familiar with strengths theory or if you visited with Barb Bankston.
A little bit, yes. Yeah.
So my strengths are positivity and ideation. So I just bring a lot of energy to the relationship. I can see the whole picture of what the client is experiencing, even if they can't see it for themselves, and present that to them, not in a directive way, but to just check out, is it this, is it that? But have this, another strength is responsibility. Have the sense that, oh, this is the client, it's their life. Coaching is very client-centered and must be client-directed because it is their life. You know, I'm not going to live it. I'm not going to bear the consequences of their decisions.
Right.
And so even though I have that, be able to see the big picture for them, I also make sure that it's them that's seeing it and help them strategize. That's the other strength I bring is the strategic. I can help them look at the situation from all different possible angles so that they can move forward in a way that's going to work best for them. And finally, a strength in communication. That's probably one of my biggest strengths, to be able to translate, you know, what is happening here into something that's understandable mm-hmm. For them. And then the last thing that I think I offer is presence. And it's a kind of a two-pronged meaning when I say that. Just the presence that I am as a person is unique. You know, it's unique to me and some people really connect with that. I've had people say, oh, I could just listen to you all day long, Sarah. Your voice is so relaxing. It's just this calming presence. But also presence as I am fully and completely there with the client. I'm able to just obtain that focus. Mm. And I just feel like that is the number one thing that I can give my clients, is that I am completely with them there in their situation, in the conversation that we're having. I think everything flows from that, not only as a coach, but as a person and as the client. I feel like to be able to encourage people to be present themselves, help them access more of what they need to be able to reach their goals. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is interesting in the whole, you know, we think of active listening, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which is different than sort of deep listening, which is sort of that, like you're talking about, you're mm-hmm. really assessing everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, well, I really want to do this, but you're seeing the nuances of the way they use their language, mm-hmm. the way they have their facial expressions, their body language, mm-hmm. that might be helping them key into, well, this seems to be what you're really saying here. Is mm-hmm. that correct? And mm-hmm. to check in with that.
Yeah, even linguistically, you know, if somebody says, well, I'll try to do that, Well, tell me what trying is versus will.
Right.
You know, even to that point. And I think that is something else that I can bring to the table. I'm not afraid to ask those questions. The coaching paradigm understands that the client is basically a healthy person that just needs a little assistance along the way to get to where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And so it frees me up to be able to ask questions that, well, you know, you say you want this, but you're doing that. You know, the right. gentle confrontation
right.
that, oh, yeah, okay, I need to take a look at this.
Right. And that's where you find the blocks and the fears and the...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It helps you dig deeper.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the difference between... that there is a difference between counseling and coaching.
Right.
Do you want to address that a yes. little bit, just so that's a little more clearly understood?
Yeah. Counseling is really... the paradigm there is the medical model, where there is involves a diagnosis. The understanding is that there's something mentally unhealthy with a person, and there's definitely room, you know, for that in counseling or in the helping professions. And therefore, the expert counselor needs to advise or make recommendations on how to address the lack of health and the mental state of the person. Coaching looks at the client as the center. The client is the expert on their life. The client can make decisions about where they want to go with the steps that they want to take in life. And coaching really takes a look at what does the client want and what do they need to do to make it happen. So it's very positive focused. It's forward looking. It's momentum building. It provides the energy to help move forward. And so we're not really looking back or trying to heal something. We're just trying to figure out how to make this happen. And when you think about it, a lot of people's challenges in life aren't necessarily because there is a mental illness there. They just don't know. They just either need more information or they need that extra support. Some of the things that I like to provide my clients, you know, pure coaching, I should say, is asking really good questions. Like I said before, listening deeply, asking really good questions, helping the client find the answers that are going to work for them. I also blend a little bit of teaching, you know, the mindset, the mindfulness, productivity tips, you know, time management, self-management, wellness, all these sorts of things are just information, you know, that people may not necessarily have, or maybe they've forgotten, or maybe they're not, haven't been motivated to implement it in the past. That's sort of the differences there,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
There is a lot of overlap. There is no doubt about it. There's a lot of overlap in skills. It isn't to say that you wouldn't necessarily take emotions into account in coaching, but it's just the way that you look at it. I've got a person here that just is facing obstacles to where they want to go, versus I've got a person here who isn't well and needs to be made well. You know, it's just two different ways of looking at it.
That's helpful. And when you're working with someone, you know, there's definitely the talking element involved, mm-hmm. and you give them other tools. What might you share with them, or what might you do with them that might take the beyond the talking piece?
Oh, yeah. Well, I always implement field work in my coaching. So if you were to just, you know, have our sessions every other week, and that's all it was, really would the person get to where they need to go? The idea is the sessions are simply a connecting point between the actual real work that the client is doing. And I think that's maybe another distinction there, is the client is doing most of the work here. Uh-huh. I'm facilitating the process,
right?
And so we'll have a coaching conversation, and I'll typically finish up with, well, given everything that we've talked about in our session, what would you like to set for yourself as action steps that you'd like to take between now and the next time we meet? And I may offer some supportive materials to help them in that. I might suggest something. Like, I've got some worksheets on procrastination that might really help you be able to think about what you'd like to do about this. Would you like that? Or I have an exercise in determining what your life purpose is. Mm-hmm. You know, does that fit right now? So I have a lot of different worksheets I can offer. I've also recorded a number of different webinars that I can offer my clients that cover a variety of topics that they can watch in between sessions, and then we talk about what they've learned and how they'd like to implement that in the following sessions. So I have lots of different tools.
Nice, a lot of variety there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does it look like in working with somebody? Like, I can imagine that there's a lot of variation, but maybe just a general sense, you know, obviously with a coach, one phone call is probably not going to do it. But what kind of is typical for people and knowing that it's situational?
Well, the first thing that happens is I invite people who are interested in working with me to engage in a complimentary 30-minute coaching sample session by phone so that they can get a sense of what it's like to work with me and that we can determine that there's a connection there. You know, if there isn't really a connection there with the client, they don't feel like what if they're not going to get what they need from me, there's no point in moving forward with that relationship. You know, there's a variety of coaches out there, a variety of personalities and tools and the way they operate, and it's likely that they'll find somebody that they can work with. So that is the main thing. I want to make sure there's a good fit and that they understand my philosophy of coaching, what it would be like to work with me, and that sort of thing. So we do that first. And then as far as moving forward, there's a couple of different ways that people can access my coaching services. Typically, people, they feel the pain point and they want to deal with that, right? And I'm pretty open to that, you know, whatever the client needs. But what I've seen in my years of being a coach is that, you know, sometimes there's real specific things. I can't manage my day. Okay, let's work on time management. And that's pretty clear. That's fine. I can give you that. But if people are a little less clear on what it is that's actually happening, it really makes a lot more sense to get back to the basics and really do some real clear foundational work. Otherwise, we can take care of the pain point, but it's just going to come up again later on down the line. And I think it's better to approach coaching from a holistic standpoint and take a look at all of what's happening so we can be more intentional and have things maybe stick a little bit better. So what that looks like is, you know, assessing what's happening with the client on a variety of paradigms. On their whole life, I like to have people take a look at a wellness wheel that covers a variety of dimensions and assess their level of satisfaction with their life, utilizing that. We may want to take a look at their health practices or their wellness practices. I've discovered that if people aren't getting enough sleep or if they're not taking care of their body properly, it's going to be really hard to get to those higher order things that maybe they're looking for. We'll assess their values, clarify their goals, you know, take a look at the obstacles, that sort of thing. Maybe even really dig down deep. What is your purpose here? You know, I happen to believe that we all have that inside ourselves, you know, what our purpose is. And clarifying that, clarifying our vision for our lives, maybe even developing like a mission statement for our lives. You know, you can see where all of that is pretty critically foundational for somebody who maybe has some career indecision or somebody who wants something more for their life. We kind of have to take a look at all that. So that takes a little bit of time to work through that, and then you can see where all the field work would come into play with some of those things.
Once you sort of have your, okay, now we know the goal that we're going towards. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting when I think of there's a lot of people sitting in discomfort, mm-hmm. not quite knowing where they want to go, mm-hmm. not quite knowing how to get there,
right.
Scared to really look at it and figure out what that is, right?
Right, right. And a lot of people that don't necessarily want to dig that deep down right. work, they want to just figure it out now and go.
Right.
But what happens when we do that?
Yeah, then you're kind of grasping at straws and what the low hanging fruit sometimes instead of actually going, what tree do I really want to climb here?
Exactly. And you end up a year later maybe being at the same place. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd really like to help prevent people from doing that. At the same time, because I so clearly believe that the client needs to determine what's best for themselves. I am flexible in that way. You know, here I offer this whole life coaching program. If you're more comfortable with, you know, just focusing on this one area, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We can do that. So coaching is relatively short-term helping modality. You know, when we're talking about accomplishing goals and things like that, you know, let's get on it. Let's get to it. Let's get you where you need to go and then take it from there. So, I don't try to rope people into long agreements, ongoing for months and months and months at a time sort of thing. I do have some people that tend to want to stay with me. Maybe we've achieved the goals of coaching, but they just really value having that person to kind of bounce things off of, especially like executive type folks that maybe they don't have a lot of people they can bounce things off of because they're kind of they're running things or whatever. Right. And so they value being able to access me in that way.
Right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I want to mention too, not only do you do individual sessions, but you do various groups too, right? So that's a great way to get a flavor of who you are in person, real working, mm-hmm. and have a bunch of other people to bounce off of.
Too. Yeah, groups are fabulous. And to be honest with you, if I could find a way to fill groups on a consistent basis, I'd probably do that almost exclusively because there is so much value in walking through this journey with other people who kind of are sharing the same journey. Mm-hmm. You can get support from one another, you get ideas from one another, and most of all, you get that accountability piece, you know? So you say you're going to do something, you say that to the group, and oh boy, now I've got to go back to that group. They're going to want to know how it went, you know?
Right.
And they're a big cheerleading section and so on and so forth. So I do periodically offer groups when I have enough people who are truly interested in digging deep. It is a commitment. There's something that isn't effective about a group when people are like, well, you know, I'll go when I can. I am only interested in working in groups when everybody is committed. And right now I am putting together a mastermind group for women who are executives or entrepreneurs. Again, that kind of place where you can come where you may be feeling a little lonely in what you're doing and would value the support and input from other people kind of in that same position. And I also would love to offer a group, you know, for my whole life coaching program. So people that want to go through that, discovering their purpose and figuring out what they need to be doing to be able to be at their maximum, optimum effectiveness to accomplishing their goals. And finally, a group called From Stress Life to Best Life, where we take a look at stress, the role that it plays in our lives. You know, there is a particular curriculum that I have with that, so different exercises and activities to counteract stress and what choices that we want to be making instead. Mm-hmm. And so those would be specific types of steps we want to take to mitigate stress in our lives, to free us up so that we can go and accomplish our goals.
Okay.
So those are some groups that I am definitely, you know, if I can fill them, I'll offer them.
That's nice. They're nice variations on different parts of our life and where we're at and what fits where we're at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody does want to work with a coach, be it you or even somebody else around the world, what kind of things can they maybe be thinking about? Certainly, I can imagine that you can call a coach and say, okay, I'm a hot mess. Let's talk. I want to do life differently, so help me, which is something that you would do.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're kind of thinking, but that's okay, I want to do this and I want to do it thoughtfully, you know, because I kind of know what I want maybe a little bit, but I'm not really sure. Is there anything that they can sort of do to prepare or to walk in so they can maybe have just some thoughts ready to go that might help really hone in on creative efficiency mm-hmm. around what you guys are doing?
Well, I think the first thing that people need to ask themselves is, are they really ready to take an honest look at their situation? You know, are they ready to dig deep and do the work that's required sometimes when you're making a life change and when you're reaching for something new? And are you open to that? So I think those are some questions that they need to ask themselves, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then also, is there anything that could potentially get in my way right now of doing the work necessary? You know, whether it's a time thing, whether it's a mental health issue. Those are all some things that, you know, you need to question mm-hmm. yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as far as adding to the process, I think there's that willingness to work, that willingness to be open in the complimentary session that I set up with people. How we do that is I send them some questions to think about ahead of time.
Okay.
You know, what are your goals? How would you feel like if you met those goals? What would it be like for you? What are your obstacles? Well, how would it be for you if you never accomplished these goals? Mm-hmm. So I set them up for getting at it right away.
Right.
And then the work begins.
I think it's interesting too. I know I've had this experience where you walk in with somebody that you have your mindset of exact, you know, or at least an idea of what you need help with, what you want, what you're there to work on. And then you get in and you dig a little deeper and you discover, okay, no, we're actually here to work on this right now. This is the thing we've now newly uncovered that right. actually needs my attention more right. than the other thing does.
Right. So. And then there's a conversation is, can we do that through coaching, or is there another mm-hmm. professional that you may benefit from more at this stage of the game?
Right, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So everybody can be flexible.
Yes.
As to what might all happen there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. My top concern is that I can serve the client well with what I'm able to do mm-hmm. and always bring authenticity and transparency to that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting to ask you? If you have any other tips or tricks or things you can leave folks with to think about too.
But. Yeah. Well, first of all, I just wanted to say how rewarding it is to be able to partner with people to help them reach their goals. And Judy, you and I have talked about mm-hmm. that you're okay with letting people know that we actually had engaged in coaching a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how much it means to me personally to have been able to work with you and help you clarify what it is that you truly want in your career. And now to see you pumping out these podcasts. And, you know, and really, you know, that you have this just a strong passion to bring information to people to help them find answers that are going to work for them mm-hmm. as far as their health and well-being is concerned. And to be able to have been a small part of that process. You've done the work. But just me asking that question, I very clearly remember one day just saying, Judy, what is it that you really want? And I'm just passionate. I want to bring that information to people through podcasting. I want to do this. And here you are.
Yeah. Oh, it's it is kind of amazing. it's been a process, that's right. for sure. And right. yeah, no, and I to speak to the whole, you know, coaching piece in however that looks like, because I've worked with you one-on-one and I've worked on with you in the group, and they both have their very different dynamics and their benefits, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, to have that other person who isn't so connected to your life, like right? Is this your partner, your best friend, or whatever, who can kind of, you know, pin you down a little bit and help you see even that thing that you have known or that you see, but to help bring it to the forefront and go, okay, then to kind of get the permission to do whatever that is and help you see what you bring to the table to do that and why it's a viable option, you know.
Right.
Sometimes that is the trick. It is, you need somebody else to remind you of things sometimes that you already know, or to bring it to the forefront, or like I said, give you permission and help you see how it's possible, or just, you know, well, look, you have all these pieces in line, so why not?
Right. Right. And I guess I would like to be able to do that for your listeners right now as well. You know, maybe there are people out in podcast land that have something that they really want to accomplish in their lives, but there is something that's been getting in the way. And oftentimes we find that this something is a self-limiting belief, something that we tell ourselves that we can't do, and that we're not necessarily basing that in anything that's in reality. It might be based in insecurity, fear. It may have come from an offhand comment that somebody has made along the way, or a misunderstanding of some sort. And I like to liken this, that we take this thing that we're telling ourselves and we put it on like a really heavy coat, and it weighs us down as we go through our lives, and it doesn't really allow ourselves to reveal our true selves. You know, what is really inside us, what we were created for, what we want to be doing. And I have a little story about this that I'd like to share. I love music. I grew up in a very musical family. So music just comes to me sort of naturally. My grandfather was in the army band in World War I. He played the clarinet.
So neat.
And then he played the clarinet his whole life. He played the clarinet, I think it was his 90th birthday party he played. And he married a woman who loved to play the piano. And they raised three children that all loved music. And one of them actually became a music teacher. Her mother was a church organist, and she was involved in music at church and all of this thing. So when we went up to visit these grandparents, they would put together an old-time band, and my grandma was on the piano, my grandpa played the clarinet, my dad played the tuba.
Oh, wow.
When my brother was old enough, he played the cornet, and when I was old enough, I played the clarinet like my grandfather did. So I just loved music. I joined band. We were able to start being in band in fourth grade in the elementary school they went to. Well, we also had a community chorus in the school. And so I sang too, and we put on musicals and concerts, pretty cool stuff. And one day I was singing, and when we were done singing, a friend of mine next to me made an observation that I sang a little flat, that I was off key. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that I sang off key. I'm not a very good singer. And though I continued with my music, with my clarinet, whenever there was an opportunity to sing in high school, we could have done both. I could have done band and choir. Oh, I'm not going to try out for choir. I sing off key. I probably could have been in a choir in college. No, I'm not going to do that. And so I went through college. I stopped playing the clarinet in an organized band at my college junior year. And when you have played an instrument for many, many years and then give it up, it's hard to get back to it. I was a poor graduate student. My instrument was needed to be repaired, if not replaced. And my embouchure, you know, that thing of your mouth, all those muscles in your mouth.
Oh,
you know, mm-hmm. It takes years and years and years to be able to develop those muscles. So that was it for the clarinet for me. And of course, I still loved music. I listened to music. I sang along with radio, that sort of thing. And at one point along the way, I decided maybe I should try out for this musical at a church. Maybe I should sing with a choir. And I just thought, I just need to have music. I the thing I loved about music isn't so much music in and of itself, but it's creating music with other people, which is really cool. And again, it's that synergy there that happens in coaching, too.
Right.
Right? When you're singing with a group of people making music, you have to adjust your voices, and you have to listen to pace, and, you know, you do all of these different things. And so I started to get involved in organized music, and particularly working with a worship team at Peace United Church of Christ here in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And was very fortunate to be able to be with a lot of talented musicians, and we made music for church. Well, I had actually had a little bit of a songwriting streak. I'm a very creative person. And I started having songs kind of come to me. I spent quite a bit of time those days by myself walking my dog out in the woods, and I'd have these songs kind of come to me. So I'd write them down, and I could take them to these talented musicians and sing the song to them, and they could figure out the chords, and then we would like bring a new song to church.
Nice.
I wrote a song, and I found out about a songwriting competition. I wrote a song, I entered it into the competition, and my song is in a songbook published by the United Church of Christ, and I get royalties.
Oh, like, that is so cool.
So my point being, at some point along the way, I decided, first of all, I put on that heavy coat when I found out, when I believed what was told to me, that I sang off key. Mm-hmm. I wore that coat for many, many, many years. And I don't know what motivated me, but I guess it was just that fact that I was just so raised in music. I had just this environment of music around me.
I
had to do something. Yeah, I was hungry for it. And that's when I shed that coat. And I think about now all of the opportunities that I would have missed, all of the joy that I got from singing or creating music with groups of people, all of the different people that I wouldn't have met, that I wouldn't have gotten something out of, all of the different things that I would have missed out on had I decided to keep that heavy coat on, because of one little thing that a little 11-year-old kid said to me years and years and years ago that may or may not have been true. And even if it was true, maybe it was only true for that moment. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I take so much time in telling that story is that I want your listeners who have a significant thing that they want to chase after, but something is holding them back. I want them to think about, is that something based in reality? Is that true? Is it really true? What evidence do you have that it's really true? Could there be another truth for their lives? Is it time to take off that heavy coat that's been holding them back from what they want to be doing in their lives? I love to say to my clients that, you know, we only have this one life, Judy. And not only for our own pleasure or satisfaction of chasing after that dream, but also, what opportunities or experiences are you denying other people? What potential impacts could you make on the world that you are denying the world of? Mm-hmm. If you keep listening to these things that aren't necessarily true. And that's my hope for everybody as a coach, that they can shed that stuff and move forward to what they want to have.
Right. Yeah. It's big stuff. It is amazing how much that stuff can weigh you down.
Right.
And how much you don't realize it. And then having tools to help you get through it to the other side to do something different.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Wow. So, it's a lot to think about. So if somebody wants to connect with you and find out if you guys might be a good fit, what's the way to go about doing that?
Well, they certainly could access my website, sarahvandermeiden.com, and that can be a little bit of a handful as far as getting the right address. It's S-A-R-A-H. V as in Victor, A N as in Nancy, D E R, M as in Mary, E I D E N.com. SarahVandermeiden.com. Also, if you search for Life Coach Duluth, Minnesota, I pop up on the first page. So that's another way people could find my website. And on my website, I have a contact page. I also have my phone number and my email address. So there's all kinds of different ways you can get a hold of me.
And you were the one who started We had three coaches on a while back from the Coach Consortium, and a few others have popped in along the way with various topics and episodes. So talk about the Coach Consortium, because you got that going, and maybe talk just briefly about how that began and then what that is and how to find that.
Well, when I was a professional working in higher education, I just loved going to conferences and engaging with other colleagues to share ideas. And again, those conversations would sometimes create things that, you know, wouldn't necessarily have existed had we not been able to connect. And when I started my coaching practice, I really missed that. And, you know, I was a solopreneur, just doing this on my own. And man, I wish I could connect with other people. I knew there was an organization down in the Twin Cities, but realistically, with a small child at home, I'm like, I'm not going to drive down there for a 2-hour meeting. You know, it's just not going to happen. And so at the same time, I kept running into coaches. Here I thought I was one of the only ones up here. I knew about Paula Williams, but really I didn't know about any other ones. And as I started going to networking events and different things like that, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's actually a lot of coaches here. And so 2017, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get everybody together. I'm going to send out an email to everybody that I've met and just suggest that we get together to know one another better and to see what we can do that would help not only us personally, but help everybody in our community. A lot of coaching is still fairly new. A lot of people don't really know about it. And there's this, you know, a lot of people out there that's like, I could really use some help, but I don't think I need therapy.
Right.
And so I pulled the group together and we determined our focus could be, you know, letting our community know about the power of coaching and provide an opportunity for people in the community to connect with a variety of different coaches. And that's kind of the Northland Coaching Consortium was born. It is open and available to any coach in the area. We are in a process right now. This has been, now, like I said, almost 2 years. But we're in a process of trying to evaluate steps that we need to take to be able to be more visible to the community. Mm-hmm. We've had some booths at some health fairs. The Northland Community Wellness Day is coming up at the Heritage Sports Center on March 30th, and we will have a booth there so people can connect with us. And we do have a website, but unfortunately that website is not searchable right now. It was built on Wix, and I don't know if this is the same with all websites, but it's kind of a pay-to-play. You know, if you're not paying to support the website or paying for the website, it's not searchable. So you could type Northland Coaching Consortium every day until the cows come home, and you're not going to find it unless you have the exact address. As an organization, we have to decide how we're going to manage that. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as you bring money into the picture, you've got to formally organize. And, you know, so we're kind of starting over. Just like I said, you know, we had this exciting idea. Let's do the Northland Coaching Consortium. But we didn't necessarily have the foundation to make it what it might need to be.
Okay.
Just like with clients, they want to jump in, but I talked about that foundational work. So we're getting back to the beginning where we're kind of assessing the strengths that we have as an organization, where our gaps might be, and then moving forward to deciding, well, do we need to organize as a nonprofit or some other type of thing where we can manage our money and everything's okay. But I think until we support our website with a paid website, our reach may be somewhat limited.
Okay. Well, and I will put that link on the notes too, and to make sure people can find it, because I know it's a tricky website.
It is a tricky website, and I can read it actually.
Oh yeah, go for
it. Right now. Northland, well, we do have a Gmail address. NorthlandCoachingConsortium@gmail.com. That's pretty easy. But the website is northlandcoachingc.wixsite.com/website. Northland Coaching C, that's all one word, and then there's a dot, and then it's Wixsite, WIXSITE.com/website. So if you type that in, you will get to our website.
Right, okay.
We're excited to see where the group is going to go, where it's going to take us. I would say we have about 5 or 6 kind of core committed members at this time, but other people are always welcome to join.
Okay. And yeah, the nice thing about Community Wellness Day is if they you know, somebody's interested or just wants to talk to you guys further, it's a great place to do that.
Yep.
You get access to whoever is there at the time and find out kind of what you guys do and be able to say, this is what I need. And then you guys can say, you know, hey, this is what I can do, or oh, this is the person that might be best for you, or whatever the case might be. So
what's really cool about the consortium is that no two coaches in the group are alike or offer things the same way or have the same focus to their coaching. And so there are so many different types of people to access: health and wellness coaches, somebody who coaches with the primal health lifestyle, somebody who coaches regarding substance use, career coaches, business coaches, all kinds of different things.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice... It's in a sense a nice one-stop shop, but
right.
also can be inspiring to kind of go, oh, here's what's available, you know, and, uh-huh. and you don't have to know what you're looking for when you go there. You can get ideas of what might my real focus be right here? What might be the best thing for me to start with?
Yeah. And essentially our website is a directory of everybody who is chosen to submit their information. Again, it's all at this point, all free to coaches to join and to be able to include it on the directory.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks again for coming and sharing yourself and the work that you do and letting people know who you are. And, you know, anybody who's needing a little help over a hump can reach out and know that there's somebody there on the other end to help catch them.
Right. I really appreciate this opportunity, Judy. Thank you so much. And yes, you know, when you think about it, it's a relatively small investment of time and resources to get some pretty big payback as far as the life that you want to live. And so just encourage people to think about that and encourage them to take that step. And congratulations to you, Judy, as well as boldly moving out into the areas where your vision was and for bringing this podcast to people.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And again, you can find her at sarahvandermeiden.com. Again, that's Sarah with an H. And Vandermeiden is VanderMeiden. And we talked about Community Wellness Day here in Duluth, Minnesota. And so I'm just going to throw the dates out for that as well. That's happening Saturday, March 30th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's at the Duluth Heritage Center at 120 South 30th Avenue West. So think back, if you will, a little while back in history when people supported artists and teachers directly for the artists or teachers living. And I mention this as a slight or gentle reminder on each podcast that almost all of my funding comes from people who find value in the information I present, who enjoy the weekly content and then take action to become part of the group that supports through Patreon or takes the time to go to the podcast website before they go to Amazon, click through the Amazon before they do their shopping. Your support through those methods and in sharing the podcast with others really is what keeps the podcast going. And one of the side benefits of becoming part of our Patreon group is that we are going to be starting to put up some bonus kind of behind the scenes, fun content over on the Wellness Renaissance Podcast Patreon site as a thank you for those who become part of our support group. As I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, I was going to give you directions to get to the boosting effectiveness and reducing your stress tool that Sarah Vandermeiden had recorded for us. And that is a gift for just going to the Patreon site. So that is not, you don't have to be a financial supporter. It's not behind the wall. It's just right there and available. You just got to go to the Patreon site for it. So if you go to the podcast site, wellnessrenpodcast.com, and you go and you look on the left side, you'll see the big red Become a Patron button. You click on that, you're going to go to, again, the Patreon site and scroll down, you will see it there. So it is a gift for you from Sarah and I, mostly Sarah. She did most of the hard work there just for visiting the webpage. Oh, and speaking of visiting the webpage,
I need to thank Krista. Krista is our newest Patreon member. Thank you so very much, Krista. I really do appreciate your support. And to all of you, the sharers, the Patreon members, the Amazon shoppers, again, that is what keeps us going. So thank you. Thank you so much to all of you. I really do appreciate it. And on that note of gratitude, I send you on your way. Have a wonderful week. May you continue to find the pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle. Take good care.